This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti on the Fan, Boomer and Gio, also simulcast on the CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning. The New York Giants, after we finished the show yesterday, did exactly what they needed to do and went out and got one of the best offensive linemen that was out there on the market. Patriots, former Patriots, left tackle Nate Solder. What a move. A Gettleman guy, a hog molly. My favorite move that has been made yet by any of the local teams, as we're starting to see these teams round into shape now as they head into the draft. Going to be a lot more football and baseball today. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great. And if I were Eli Manning, I'd be going and I'd be sending text messages to Dave Gettleman saying thank you, thank you, thank you, because he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He's going to try to rebuild this offensive line. He's actually done it. They brought in a guard as well from the Jacksonville Jaguars, a kid that was actually replaced by Norwell down there when Norwell signed with them. But at the end of the day, now we can finally see, and we've heard from Dave Gettleman, what he's trying to do here. So with bringing in Solder and bringing in Stewart and bringing in Alec Ogletree, what you're bringing in is you are bringing in three professional football players that are great guys, supposedly, that are locker room leaders, and that will have a profound impact on the team, not only on the field, but also off the field. And, you know, you get rid of DRC, you get rid of this one. I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to get rid of a few more guys, a few other bad apples, if you will. And I'm not so sure that Eli Apple, I think he'll stay, but at the end of the day, he's rebuilding the team with quality football players, but quality guys. And now I see it. I can see it clearly. And I think it's they spend money. And you have to spend money in free agency. If you don't have something, unfortunately, you got to go out and you got to spend a lot of money to go get something. And you better hope, whether it either be via trade or via free agent signing, that you're signing the right guys. And for my money right now, from a substance standpoint, in free agency, both the Jets and the Giants have done a very good job of filling needs, bringing in starting players, and bringing in what I would say are high-caliber guys. So everybody's aware of that, you know. And I'm telling you, it's good. It's really a good day. It's a good day for Jet fans and Giant fans in my eyes, because that's exactly what both of these general managers are doing.
Right, absolutely. And the Giants, to me, how many times have we heard you didn't address the offensive line? What got Jerry Reese fired was not addressing the offensive line. Now, they addressed it. They just addressed it in ways that didn't work. Like, Eric Flowers was a first-round pick, but Eric Flowers didn't work out at left tackle. Now, he's going to stay on the team. They're going to move him either to right tackle or they're going to move him inside because he's cheap and he's talented and they feel like they'll be able to work with him. But you want to talk about the narrative changing about not addressing the offensive line and not caring about Eli Manning back there. Well, this totally changes that. And if he's good enough to block for Tom Brady in Super Bowls, he's good enough to block for just about everybody in the National Football League.
It's a four-year deal, and he should see all 4 years. You know, he should be here. He's younger now. He's young enough, and he's a quality enough player. Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you they just signed, you know, Anthony Munoz. That's not who they signed. But what they did sign, they signed a guy that is, you know, more than quality. And, you know, one of the reasons, you know, he hasn't made a lot of Pro Bowls is simply because he plays in New England and everybody's focused on Tom Brady and what he's doing. The other thing, too, here is that there's another side of free agency. And the other side of free agency are compensatory picks in the draft and how those impact teams moving forward. And right now, New England, I think, and the Rams, you know, have the biggest – takeaway from all this. When you lose a free agent of significance, depending on how much money that free agent is making and you know what he was for you as a player determines where you go in the rankings of the compensatory picks. I think the New England Patriots are going to have four of those picks now because of what they have lost here in free agency. But I just think from an on-the-field perspective, in the locker room perspective, both the Jets and the Giants have done a really good job of signing solid, really solid players to enhance their chances to win next year, assuming these guys stay healthy. So the Jets have added a center. Jets have added an inside linebacker that's a tackling machine from Tennessee. You know, the Giants, when you look at what they did, a starting left tackle, you know, kind of a bit player as a running back, but a high character guy. The quarterback of the defense of Dave, as Dave Gettleman has described him, and Alec Ogletree in the middle of that defense. I'm telling you, it's good. It's so if you're a Giant fan, a Jet fan, wake up this morning, your GMs have been active. They have brought in quality guys, and I think that those guys will all have a really positive effect on both of these teams.
Right, and they're certainly not done, especially the Jets, because the Jets still have a ton of money to spend. The Giants have to be a little more frugal, especially with having to overpay for Solder, because there's no doubt about it. They had to overpay, but they needed to do that. They had to get him here. You cannot lose out on your two top offensive line targets when that was the thing that you absolutely had to fix during free agency, and they didn't do that as they get Solder. Now, the big name out there that's been linked to both the Jets and Giants is a man that nobody expected to be available, who was just released yesterday in the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. So the natural fit you would think would be with the Jets for a couple of reasons. You've got a guy who was in Arizona and James Betcher, who, I mean, that's for the Giants, which with James Betcher would be there with the Giants. But you also have a guy in Arizona as the head coach with the Jets, and Todd Bowles, whose stepdaughter also has... they've got a connection because his stepdaughter has a kid with Tyrann Mathieu, so they have like a family situation
there.
Sure,
I don't know how that whole thing works.
But I mean, that could, I don't think that they have a bad relationship.
I hope not.
But there is a personal connection there too. So you could look at both those situations with the Jets and Giants and say, all right, Betcher is there with the Giants, so you've got that. You got Bowles and that situation with the Jets. This is a guy who could really look at both the Jets and the Giants as a place to land. But then if you look at Twitter, every single beat writer that I've seen for almost every single team is like, Tyrann Mathieu be a great fit here, it'd be a great fit there, it'd be a great fit in Pittsburgh, it'd be a great fit in Cleveland, it'd be a great fit. So, I mean, this guy's going to have a ton of suitors because he's a really good player. No, he expected to be available.
Yeah, I get your angle. I would think that Betcher would be in there pushing for him, and I would imagine that Todd would be too, but the Jets have the most money to spend, and they could do it if they wanted to go down that road. See, this is what happens in free agency, because sometimes these teams are aware of who is available when free agency starts or going into free agency. What they don't know is what other teams are going to be doing with their players that are either locked in a contract squabble or trying to figure out how to unwind from a big contract that somebody had gotten, much like Ndamukong Suh. So, you know, interestingly enough, I was watching Aqib Talib yesterday. He was giving an interview on NFL Network, and he was actively – you know, trying to get, Ndamukong Suh to the Rams. And thinking that, you know, Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh in the middle of that Rams defense would be unbelievable. But as Aqib Talib, I will say, said all the right things. He goes, hey, look, man, it's a business. I didn't want to leave Denver. I was hoping that we weren't going to leave Denver. But at the end of the day, they're paying three guys who play essentially the same position a lot of money on one roster, and they have other holes to fill. So guys like me are going to get moved. And we recognize it, and I think Alec Ogletree could probably say the same thing. There's a bunch of guys that will be, and you know, Ndamukong Suh is going to say the same thing, that you know he's overpaid. Not that he's not still a good player, but at the end of the day, they got to move on, and they got to spend money in other areas. And it's one of the reasons why I think Mike Tannenbaum and all those guys down there felt like, look, we got Jarvis Landry, we got Ndamukong Suh. Yeah, they're good players, but we're not going anywhere with them. So what are we going to do here? We're going to continue to pay these guys, or are we going to try to move in a different direction and see if we can shake some things up and see if we can kind of jumpstart our season next year? Now, I don't know necessarily that they can do that given the fact of the significance of those players, but I think the Jets and the Giants are on the right path doing quality signings. Sometimes you have to overpay for some guys, and that's exactly what the Giants did for Nate Solder. But if you're going to invest into a guy, wouldn't you invest into a guy that at least comes in with that sort of reputation that Solder has.
Right, exactly. And you know what made me think, too, is you said, look at the guys that Dave Gettleman is bringing in, not just on the field, off the field. Does that same mentality apply for Odell Beckham Jr. when they're thinking about a contract negotiation with him, right? Now, I know he's a different type of talent. He's an all-world type of talent at the wide receiver position. But if we're starting to get a peek into Gettleman's world and the type of player he likes to pay, the type of player he likes to put a Giants uniform on, does that get the wheels turning a little bit with Odell Beckham Jr. that maybe that's not the type of guy that Dave Gettleman, now it's not all up to him, but that's not the type of guy that Dave Gettleman's going to want to give the $20 million a year to.
But I think Dave Gettleman is sitting in a great seat. And the reason I say that is because you have this latest issue with Odell Beckham Jr. You have him coming off of an injury. There's no reason to even worry about giving him a contract right now. You don't have to. You just do not have to. What you have to do is you got to see him play. You got to see him play at a very high level. Maybe you tell his agent, look, I want to see what we have in the field first. Then we'll go down that road with you. But right now, with all the issues that you have and all the issues you've put us into, we're not going to give you a contract until you show us that you're 100% healthy. And then, who knows? He may do to Odell Beckham what the Miami Dolphins did to Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
To put a tag on him
and then
trade him.
Yeah, which is a possibility but the tag I guess Jarvis Landry, he got, what was the tag, $16
million? Yeah, about $16 million, yeah.
Right,
but he wouldn't
exactly.
tag, obviously, because they picked up his fifth year of his contract, they wouldn't tag him until next year. I know that, that Odell Beckham Jr. is not happy right now. He wants a new contract. Much like, the Rams are trying to get this contract done with Aaron Donald. That's the same draft class. And a number of those players that came out of that draft class are getting new contracts now. And don't think for a moment that Odell Beckham Jr. and his group don't see that. The Mike Evanses of the world, he got a new contract. The question is the Odell Beckham Jr. has put himself in a really weird spot with the Giants. Just really has. He's made it really difficult for the Giants to sit there and say, we want to give him the $100 million that he wants. I would be very, very careful not to do that. I would want to see more from Odell Beckham Jr. on the field before I even thought about going into a new contract with him.
Yeah, what's good with Odell Beckham Jr., his standpoint is I've got a full year now. Forget about the video for a second. I've got a full year now to prove that I deserve that type of paycheck. If he puts together a 16-game regular season where he's leading the league in every category like he should, then at that point, I think he can go back to the negotiating table and have his leverage. But right now, he doesn't have that leverage. So you've got to look at situations like Kirk Cousins, like Joe Flacco, even though those are quarterbacks. But still, look at those situations and say, put together a phenomenal year heading into free agency and see if it works out for you. And unfortunately, the franchise tag is still an available thing for teams to use, so we might have to deal with that. But that's not the worst thing in the world when you think about what that number is.
I think the Giants are somewhere between 8 and 10 million under the cap right now.
That's before the Brandon Marshall release, right?
That would be before the Brandon Marshall release, yes. I think Brandon is still on the salary rolls for them.
Yeah, so that's going to save them at least a few million dollars. So they'll have that, right? Is he up there?
Yeah, Brandon Marshall still counts, I think, about $6.1 million against the cap.
Right. So, that's almost, you add that to the eight.
Now you're about 16, 15, 16.
Right. And you're going to have to, if you want to bring in Tyrann Mathieu, you're going to have to release Brandon Marshall sooner or later.
Yeah, I see. That's why I'm saying that the money that you would end up paying Odell Beckham would probably come from the fact that you would draft a young quarterback. And Eli Manning, this would be his last year.
Right.
That's the way I would look at it now. But things change, obviously, depending on how everybody plays. But if you had to wonder where you were getting the money to pay Odell Beckham Jr., it would be the contract that you're essentially paying Eli Manning.
Right. And unless you end up, even with a tag, you got to find some room. Now we'd have to go through what the money is at the end of this year that
and
comes off the books.
And they could
move
guys around
else.
If they wanted to and all that other stuff. Yes. So, believe you, just like they got rid of DRC, they saved some money. It's like they're most likely going to get rid of Brandon Marshall. They'll save some money. They'll have more money. You can move things around. But when you're talking about a contract, the significance of what Odell Beckham Jr. thinks he's owed or deserves, you're talking about a pretty big percentage of your salary cap.
Another interesting move yesterday that may or may not impact the draft is AJ McCarron. We were looking for a place for him to end up landing yesterday. He goes to the Buffalo Bills on a short-term deal. I still think that the Buffalo Bills are loading up. I mean, they are loading up. I know some people had the take of, oh, well, AJ McCarron, good quarterback, going to get his opportunity. Young guy. He's not a veteran guy. He's not coming off an injury. You know, they've found their quarterback. Now, no, they are going to load up, and they're continuing to do that to be able to trade up in the draft the Bills to get a quarterback, and I would not be surprised if we saw that right away on draft night. Usually those trades don't happen until either a couple days before actual draft night, but they're still going to trade up to get a quarterback.
Oh, 100% there's no doubt about it. I mean, they have two young guys that have very little or no playing experience up there right now, and they're going to still try to go out and get themselves one of these top four quarterbacks, I believe, unless they fell in love with Mason Rudolph and they get him later in the first round. You know, that's also a possibility for the Bills, but you would imagine that they are on the phone trying to figure out a way to get up into the top four picks.
Right, which the Jets need to be doing too, by the way, because as we laid out the scenario yesterday, it's very, very likely they end up with the last quarterback available out of those four or none of those quarterbacks out of those four if things break a certain way. Because now we know that the Browns are not going to be messing around. They're definitely taking a quarterback. And if you think the Giants are, if you think the Broncos are, and you think the Bills are trading up, then you're sitting holding the bag, you know? So that they have to be thinking about that too. But unfortunately, they don't have as many assets to do so as the Buffalo Bills do right now. So,
but wouldn't you agree, though, that both the Jets and the Giants are in a good, solid position right now? They've done a good job of rebuilding where they needed to rebuild. They're not done yet. There's other free agents that will come available again after June 1st that maybe they may add here or there. But I can't argue with who they brought in here. I can't argue with the money that they're spending. I mean, they're spending money, and both teams are. And when you see the pick that they gave, the amount of money that they gave the kid from the Rams, Johnson, the defensive back, it's like, whoa, man.
It's like, yeah, I mean, these teams are spending humongous contracts.
Right, so I don't think the fans can't argue with the amount of money that is being spent and the type of player that they're trying to bring in here for both of these franchises.
Right.
I mean, they're on parallel tracks. They're trying to rebuild. They're trying to do it the right way via the draft as well as select free agent signings. And at least on paper right now, both teams have been aggressive. Both teams have done a very good job. They may have not got the guys that they had targeted initially with Kirk Cousins for the Jets and Norwell for the Giants, but you know, the secondary stuff that they've done here has been really good.
Yeah, and I still think, though, that the anxiety for the Jet fan is it's definitely been quelled a little bit, but it's still all about the quarterback.
And by
the
way,
about the quarterback.
And speaking of that, Baker Mayfield had his pro day.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, Baker Mayfield comes after the pro day's over. What does he say? Well, I just proved I'm the best quarterback in the draft.
Well, that's great.
So, again, he's got a little bit of an edge to him. I think he fits. I think he fits the Jets. I could see him possibly going to Denver if the other three guys are gone. But he is definitely a personality. He is definitely somebody that initially fans will be very excited about if their team drafts him.
Yeah, and I guess he was getting some flack because he did an interview with a do-rag thing on or something. That he keeps
he always
under
wears
his helmet.
That, but he always wears that.
I mean,
that.
But that's just so stupid that people care about that. I mean, honestly, the people who think that Baker Mayfield are going to fail, they're going to find every imperfection in this kid, and he's going to end up in somebody's lap who puts all that crap aside, and he's going to go out there and be amazing for them. And the Giants were there, the Broncos were there.
You know, we're not talking about the MLB Post Book of Etiquette here. We're talking about playing quarterback in the NFL.
Exactly.
And I guess there has to be some sort of personality trait that everybody's looking at that fits their team. I think Baker Mayfield fits the Jets. If they have the opportunity to draft him, for you and me here and for the excitement around here, that would be awesome. And I'm glad to hear that Mike McCagan was there. He was there watching him. I think that's great. I think he's got to do his due diligence on all this stuff. You can't get enough really good looks at these kids until, but prior to the draft. So you take every opportunity and you go and watch. And what you see is a guy that's got a natural throwing motion. You see a guy that obviously is a little bit shorter than others. You see a guy that's highly accurate. And you also see a guy that basically has a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Now, does this give you any insight into what the Giants are thinking, right? So at this Baker Mayfield Pro Day, the Broncos had the most people in attendance there. Seven members of the organization were there for the Broncos. The Giants were second. They had five people there from the organization.
That makes you feel like the Giants want to take a quarterback.
Right, right.
And the Giants could possibly feel that, look, we don't have to take them with the second pick. We could probably take them with the fourth, fifth, or sixth pick. But the problem is if you let Denver get in front of you, you know, we also got to see what the other pro days look like. We got to see what Sam Darnold's pro day looks like. We got to see what Josh Rosen's pro day looks like. And then, of course, Josh Allen, that behemoth.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, but five guys to Baker Mayfield's pro day? I mean, you can't tell me they're not taking a quarterback at the top of this draft.
Well, you know, a lot of this also, too, could be, you know, it's fodder. It's you know, it's looks, it's perception.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that goes on right now. There's a lot of everybody's playing games with each other. Everybody is trying to see whether or not they can enhance the value of their draft pick and see whether or not they can trade it and what else is going on. So I'm telling you, it's been a fascinating start to NFL free agency. It's going to be quite the run until we get to the draft. And by the way, 140,000 ticket requests for the draft in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. 140,000 ticket requests. I mean, the NFL draft has turned into a Super Bowl all into itself.
Now, I remember when I used to wait for a wristband outside of the Garden because it was the theater at the Garden. We're talking about, I don't know, 2002, and there was like 500 of us out there.
The fact that they're going to have it at AT&T Stadium with that screen up there, it's going to be insane. I mean, basically, it's a draft.
Right? Is it
it's
still
a draft?
Is it still free to go there to the draft?
I don't know if it is or not, but I would think that if God, I would charge $10 a ticket.
Oh my God, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, think about that for 1 second. 140,000 requests for tickets to the NFL draft.
I know there's not a game being played. Nothing. It's just guys standing up and reading names.
Al's in my ear. He's telling me now that the requests are up to 187,000. 187.
You know what? The drama's great, though. It's awesome. I love it. And if we do end up doing that show, it's going to be so much fun, especially with the Jets and Giants at the top of the draft. It's the best. Then you start seeing the names coming off and what's somebody going to do. And a trade comes in. You get all fired up for that. It's just awesome.
Hey, so much for the NFL on a downturn, right? I mean, I know in the world we live in, because we have to talk about it every day, the NFL is like on the tip of everybody's tongue. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'm going right now, that's all anybody wants to talk about. Who are the Giants drafting? Who are the Jets drafting? Are we getting a quarterback or should we do this? Everybody's got their point of view. And it just goes to show you how popular the NFL is. With all the crap going on around the NFL, from the domestic violence to the kneeling to the concussion issue to the mishandling of whatever penalties are handing down to their players and their teams and the owners getting fined $2 million. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you that the game is still extremely popular, the most popular of all the games, and a reason why Fox has paid $60 million per game on Thursday Night Football for a 5-year contract.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.